We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus, coming to you in the way that the Lord has provided for us, and we're just happy to report victory in Jesus. There's no other name given among men according to the word of God, whereby that we can be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifested in the flesh, came into this world to die for our salvation. For as in Adam one time transgressed by disobedience, put us all in sin, second Adam, Jesus Christ, made a quickening spirit, came into this world to die and to make the sacrifice that was needed to end all sacrifices that were in, that we could have remission of our sins. So taking time for Jesus is a part, or should be a part, of your everyday life. If you love the Lord, if you know Him as your personal Savior, we should take time to give Him praise and honor all during the day, to keep Him on your mind and keep Him in your foresight of your heart, to give honor to Him, for He is worthy to be praised. So as we come to you in the name of the Lord, we ask that you would be with us and help us as we endeavor to win souls for the kingdom of God. We're not in it, my friend, to make a lot of money and do these things as some people are, that every time their mouth flies open, they want you to send them a seed to plant in their garden or in their bank account. I'm not into all of that. I'm after planting the seed of salvation deep within your heart, that wherein that it may grow to give spiritual praise unto our Lord and our God, that He will bless you and keep you, and that at the end of time, that when, if we are asleep in the dust of the earth, or that we remain to be alive, we can be caught up together to meet Him in the air. I'm hoping and praying that God, in His all of His wonderful blessings, would bless you and keep you and meet your needs as He has mine. And I don't receive a lot of money, but that's all right. God has met my needs, so I'm not complaining. I'm not trying to build a memorial to myself or a big cathedral or something or other. So it's just one of the things that God has not laid on my heart. But what He has put on my heart is to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to plant the seed, and another one would water, but Paul made mention about that he would plant and Apollos would water, or one would plant and another would water, but it takes God to give the increase. God knows my needs. He knows your needs. It's no need of us going off and trying to get rich off of like Him being a Santa Claus in the sky. He will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not have room to receive. But my friend, when we go to looking to Him for salvation, giving honor and praise and doing His will, then He will bless you in so many ways that you won't understand it. But it's not all in money, my friend. If He provides health and strength for you, and you don't have to spend the time in the hospitals and your car breaking down, if it runs and everything, it's many ways that God blesses without you having to look to $25,000 in the mail the next day when you send somebody 10 or 20 or 100 or whatever. But my God is able to supply all your needs. He said He would. And if we have bread and water, be therefore content. God will meet your needs. He has mine in all the days of my life. I've got no complaint. But if the old flesh desires to have the riches of this world and not salvation for your soul, and when the world is all done away with and your soul is cast into outer darkness, where will all of your riches be then, my friend? It's just one of those things that riches of this world will not buy a place in the kingdom of God, salvation for your soul. Sin is running rampant in the world today. And we, as we look into the news and we hear over the news and read the papers and everything about what's going on in the world, we got to know that God has spoken about this in the days of old when he himself put on the robe of flesh and walked among men, and he told the apostles, he told them about the things that would come upon the land, how the destructive forces would come, how evil would increase. And these things are upon us, my friend, and we need to realize that our only hope should be in Christ Jesus, not in the material things of this world, in the big cathedrals, the big million-dollar mansions that we might desire to live into and everything, but be content that God in your heart, salvation for your soul, will bring you into the kingdom of God. But all the riches of this world will not buy your way into the kingdom. I've heard it being said, I've read it, that wherein that people die and somebody will make a pledge to some organization and wherein that they'll pay them so many thousands of dollars to pray them out of purgatory. My friend, that's impossible to do. Don't be carried away by every wind of doctrine and foolishness to rob you of what wealth you may have or whatever you may be able to muster up by the work and the sweat of your brow, bending your back, laboring hard to get it to accomplish something of that nature, because it won't happen. If you tree falls in corruption, it'll lie in corruption. If it falls in righteousness, it'll rise in righteousness. But if it goes into the pit, it's going to remain there. Take two, read your word. When Jesus spoke about the rich man dying and a Lazarus dying, Lazarus carried off with the angels into Abraham's bosom, was in faith in Christ Jesus. The rich man died, and according to the word there, he said he lifted up his eyes in hell. And Abraham told him it was a gulf fixed there to where they could not come up there, or he or Lazarus could not go to him. So that tells me that if you wind up in purgatory, as they call it, hell the Bible calls it, then you're going to be there for the duration, however long that might be. Eternity is eternity. They tell me that I heard read one time where if you take a sparrow and put him on one part of the earth, and every time he made a circle around the complete, and he brushed a grain of sand off of the earth until it was all resolved and blowed away, no more remained, eternity would just be gone. So take it from there. Eternity in outer darkness and where there's weeping and wailing of gnashing of teeth, it's, to me, that's eternity. It's never no end. But to be in the kingdom of God for eternity, where there'll be peace, joy, and love, no more tears, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more dying, and all these things, which would you rather be? Pay that man or either praise God? I'd believe you'd get more results by just praising God and believing and trusting in him than you would be to putting all your money into something other that's not going to get you satisfaction. But anyway, God is a God that loves his people. He loved his creation enough that he came into this world to die for it. We got cast into sin by the cause of one man's disobedience. But by another man, the second Adam, as it people speak about and as the word speaks about, Adam was made out of the dust of the earth, but the second Adam was made out of a quickening spirit. God in the flesh came and died for our sins. That's where our hope should be, not in the riches of this world, not in how big of a cathedral we could build to hold 1,000 people, and then they tell them to raise a hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and you're on your way to glory. It's repentance. Repentance, calling upon God, for asking him to forgive you of your sins and looking to him, and walk no more there in the darkness of sin. Walk in the light of the gospel. That's why I encourage you, read your Bible. Don't take every word of every man's word for it. Read it for yourself. Help, let God. Ask God by His Spirit to enlighten you in what the Word of God says, to bring you to the truth and let you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. God Himself came and died for sinners such as you and I. It's no other way we can make it, my friend. We need Him. Now, He can get along without us. But I don't know how long He got along before He began to create everything. But however it was, He didn't need me to tell Him how to do it. He didn't need you to call you every morning or any other lawyer or any other president or king of the world or whatever he may be. He don't call him in the morning and ask him what he should do. He just does what he desires to do because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's God Almighty. He don't need you and don't need me, but we need him. Need him desperately for the salvation of our soul. Because the enemy of this world, or the god of this world, the devil himself, Lucifer, has came down and making havoc to the people that disbelieve the word of God. So read your Bible. Find out what it has to say. And let God come into your life and lead you into the ways of righteousness. Bring you out of the darkness of sin into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you may know him in the power of his resurrection, because he is alive and alive forevermore. So we just hope that you will take a few minutes of your time in the days to read your Bible. Seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and with all of your body. We just know that God is able to supply your needs. All these that comes along in the world looking for the riches of this world, laying up treasures against the last day, one day will throw them into the holes with the bats, cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. My friend, it's a prime example of the five foolish virgins and the five wise. Them five wise ones kept oil in the lamp. They kept praise and honor and the glory, respecting the Lord Jesus Christ and giving praise and honor to him. Kept their lights trimmed and their brights walking in the light of the gospel. The foolish ones, yet they all waited upon the call of the bridegroom. The foolish ones let some way or another, they left the cares of this world bring them out and they lost the light. So the cares of this world, like money and riches of the world, big mansions and automobiles and so on and so forth like that, will bring you away from the kingdom of God. But if you seek after him first and foremost, he said he would supply our needs. So why should we be worried about all these here people that's going out over the TV and wherever else is begging you for your money? I'm not into that game, my friend. I'm after winning a soul for the kingdom of God. And as he has blessed me, I try to bless others. But my friend, today, the greatest blessing a man could ever receive, it's not in wealth or the material things of this world, but it's in the kingdom of God. God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, being born again, as he told Nicodemus, was a man of authority in the seminaries at that time, as we called it, but it was in the temple there. He was one of the men of renown, and he knew the law and these things, but when he come to the Lord wanting to know what he might do or how he could do or how he could be saved, Jesus told him, he said he had to be born again. He wanted to know if a man old, could he enter the second time into his mother? And Jesus plainly told him, if he couldn't understand the natural things, how could he understand spiritual things? Born of the water and of the Spirit is what Jesus was speaking about. Not entering a second time into the mother's womb and being born in a natural sense. That's impossible. God ain't going to let it. He could do it if he wanted to, but he's not going to do it. He wanted you to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Receiving the engrafted word of God, receiving of his Spirit, being born again of the water and of the Spirit, being baptized in his name, and for the remission of sin and receiving of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of God. My friend, be in you to lead, to direct you, and to keep you, and he will do it if you'll let him. But if you reject him, don't let him come into your life. And when the day of judgment comes, and you can stand up there and say whatever you don't want to, but he'll say, depart, I don't know you, never knew you, and be cast into outer darkness. So it's up to you and I. It's what you want to do, and it's what I want to do. I want to serve the Lord. I want to one day, when it comes that time, whenever that might be, whether it's sleep in the dust or I remain to be alive, that I want to meet my Lord with peace, to see him. And for I shall know that I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. My friend, the only way we're going to see him as he is, we're going to have to be born again. But every eye is going to behold him. Even to them that pierced him is going to see him. But the thing of it is how they see him and how he receives them is going to be make the big difference. Whether he says enter in or depart. Those two words would make a big difference. Enter in or depart. So which is it going to be, my friend? Will it be enter in or depart? It's up to you. It's up to me. I choose to enter into the kingdom of God through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the truth. I am the light. I am the way. So how else can we get there except through Jesus Christ? He's the only door into salvation. For he says that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So why do we seek a back window or a back way or walk in darkness when we can walk in the light and enter into the kingdom of God? Oh yeah, it's a straight way. It's a narrow gate. Few that find it, but broad is the way and broad is the gate that leads to destruction and many travel thereon. So it's up to you and I. I encourage you, read your Bible. Read your Bible and let God show you. Ask him. If you ask, he'll answer you. If you knock, it'll be open unto you. If you seek, you can find him. It's up to you and I. So if we think about it, in Isaiah was telling us about these things that in the 51st chapter there. If you read it for yourselves, don't take my word for it. Read it for yourself. And look into it. He says, hearken. Hearken means to listen and look to see what you're going to hear. And we need to hearken unto the word of God. We need to read the word of God. Listen for that small, still voice of God speaking to your intellect of your heart to bring you into the place of where he can abide in you and you can abide in him. That we need to look to him for salvation because there's no other way that we can make it without him. He said, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye were hewed, and to the hole in which pit wherein they digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that beareth you, for I called him among alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the God shall comfort Zion. Zion means that we need to look to it. He said he laid in Zion a rock that we need to look to. That rock was Jesus Christ. We need to understand that without that rock that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, the water that spirit that they drank out of, that Abraham spoke to once, and then he smote it, and he was not able to go into the promised land, but I believe Abraham was all right. He just didn't get to go into the promised land. But my friend, if you abuse God's word and don't take it to your heart, you won't get into the promised land either, that kingdom that we're in that he has gone to prepare. It's up to you and I, and we need to read the word of God to have an assurance. We need to look to it. He said, "There, we need to look to the rock. As a Zion." Zion was a place that often we refer to as being Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where back years ago, where he established a place to be where his name would be established. And this people is trying to destroy it. But Israel has been gathered together. 1948, God allowed them to get back there and establish. United States were the first to recognize them being a state of their own. But now that the things have changed so much until who knows what, Israel is a country that the outsiders is wanting to destroy, literally. But it ain't going to happen, my friend. God's going to protect his children, and that includes you and I. The church started it way back before you and I was ever come into this world. It was a tabernacle in the wilderness. Israel was God's chosen people. He hasn't threw them away. He just laid them aside to bring you and I in. We were wild olive branches. They were the chosen ones, the true ones. But he laid them aside because of their unbelief and because of their disbelief in him and the rejection of him. But he's going to bring them back. He's already gathering them back in their land, and things is going to be happening from time to time. That if you read your Bible, you will see that these things are being fulfilled in our day. And we see that all of the signs are coming forth. So we need to rely upon Zion. We need to rely upon him that created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of our soul. We need to come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Not with your wallet in your hand or your checkbook and your pen to write him out a check. You don't need to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him by repenting. Coming to him with sorrow in your heart for the sins that you was born in and you have committed and asking him to forgive you. Apologizing to him for all that you have done that was contrary to him and bringing forth sin into your life. We need to look to him for salvation, where there's no other name given whereby that we can have salvation. But said, as he goes on and he says that the Lord shall comfort Zion, and he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Edom and the desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me. There, hearken again is listen. Listen to what the Lord has to say. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto thee, O my nation, for a law shall proceed out, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of my people. Jesus came into this world for a light unto them that would believe in him, that they wouldn't have to walk in darkness of sin and stumble and fall into a pit that's been dug by the devil. He come to give them a light that it would bring them out of the darkness. And that light shined out into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But yet you find a lot of people that wants to make God less than what he is. Some of them wants to bring other gods into the place. There's no other gods, my friend. Rocks have been hewed out into some kind of image or wood or something of that nature. They can't see, they can't hear, they can't do you any good, really. They can't move, they can do nothing. If they move, they have to be picked up and toted by you if you fall in that line of sin. But the God of creation is a God of spirit. He himself came in the form of flesh. If you'll think about it, the Bible says, excuse me, the Bible says that God created man in his own image and in his likeness. And when you look into the mirror, you see the image of the creator that made you from the dust of the earth originally. Now, the likeness of him was lost when Adam disobeyed, and part of the things that which in was a likening unto God, knowing right from wrong and having no sin, being perfect, that demolished. Now we have to come to the cross of Calvary, to him that was nailed on the cross, that bore yours and my sins, that brought forth salvation by his own right arm, we have to trust in it, as he said there. We need to come to him. And in 5 he says, righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people in the isles, shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. The isles was meaning Gentiles. The isles, them that are far off, in other words. I want you to understand that God has not left out anyone out of the plan. Even though Israel, Abraham, was chosen by God to come forth, and he told him he would make a nation out of him, and the stars and the sands of the sea would be multiplied. But he said, out of his seed shall all nations be blessed. And God began to show the promise to Abraham and brought forth in many times, if you read in the scriptures there, that how that he began to work and make the plan to come to pass. And this is just one of them. There's many. Oh, my friend, when he come to the place there, Isaac was born unto Abraham through Sarah. He brought life out of a dead wound and out of an old man that was not supposedly to be able to sire children at that time, but God placed it back, and they brought forth a son. His name was Isaac. And out of Isaac came forth the promise that God had been made to Abraham, out of his seed shall all nations be blessed. And from that time, God began to work. He worked in the children of Israel, and he worked on to Rahab, and he come forth and therefore, and he brought it all to pass. And my friend, Jesus Christ is a result out of a little girl named Mary, was a virgin, and she came forth out of the lineage of David. And she, therefore, the Messiah was born out of the womb that he had created, and he brought forth life, and he would give life. So, my friend, why should we seek after another God? There is no other. Rocks and stones hewed out cannot be a God. But yet and still, God is manifested in the flesh, come and died for you and I. He will come and reveal himself to you if you'll only open up your heart and let him. Out of the scriptures, read it. He said, that is, that wherein that the people in the isles, Gentiles in other words, I'm a Gentile. I was not born a Jew by nature or natural. I was a born Jew in the spirit, but that's not naturally. But I trust in the arm of the Lord. As Isaiah makes mention in the 53rd chapter, to whom has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? My friend, it's been revealed to me out of the Word of God by reading what the Lord had to say, what was written. I believe the report from the very beginning that God created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. And in the first chapter of John, he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he goes on to say that there was nothing made that was not made, but it was made by Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So why should we seek after other things? Even to the people of Israel denied him, had him turned over to the Gentiles, and they crucified him. But my friend, he still has not thrown them away. He will one day return unto them the joy of his salvation. They will return to him when he seeks and reaches forth again to retrieve that remnant that Paul spoke about. Pray for Israel that they will come to the knowledge of who he is. There's a few of them that have, but the whole nation has not yet. When you see the problems that they're having, this problem that we're having is because of sin, because of unbelief, and because of the denying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Denying the Messiah is what got them into trouble. When they denied him, hollering, crucify him to give us Barabbas. They wanted the world. They preferred a murderer and a thief from the one that could give them life eternally, had showed in many infallible words that who he was, but yet unbelief, because they had to be put on the back burner, you might say, broken off to where you and I could be brought in. So why do you want to trust into these things that doesn't bring you any salvation? Why would you want to be fooled into giving into this and giving into that? They're thinking that you're going to be favorable of God by giving all of that, what he's blessed you with, to somebody that knows how to talk your wallet out of your back pocket and the money out of it and everything. My friend, look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, not unto the man. The arm of flesh cannot help you. It will destroy you if you will let it, but the right arm of salvation, God's own right arm, will bring you into the kingdom of God. He and he alone can bring you to the place of wherein he said he'd gone to prepare for us. But looking unto him, his own right arm brought him salvation. He said, lift up your eyes into the heavens and look there upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken, listen again. He says, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people of whom heart is my law. Fear ye not the approach of men, neither be ye afraid of their raveling. For the moth shall eat them like garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Lord of the Lord. Wake up, as in the ancient days of the generation of the old. Art thou not in it that it has cut off and wounded the dragon? Art thou not we which divided the sea? You know how he brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea by drying it up. They got through, but he drowned Pharaoh's army up there. So, my friend, who can we trust? I can't find no one we can put our trust in except the Lord Jesus Christ through his word and by his spirit. All these things come to us by the Spirit of God, not by wealth of the world or by power and might, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. So, we got to look to him. We got to call upon him while that there is time. He's near unto us. All we got to do is feel for him, and we can find him. But he's not lost. It was you and I that was lost, that he came to out into the world there to find you and I, where we were down in sin, trodden deeply. But he come to bring us life. Bring us out of the darkness of sin into the glorious light of the gospel, to wherein that we can have salvation for the soul and not perish in the pits of hell. The devil has been cast into hell, and hell has enlarged itself. A lot of people don't like to hear about hell, but Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. He wants you to flee from the curse of hell and sin and darkness. He wants you to come to the light of the gospel. That's why he spoke about these things. That's why he wanted you to understand, and I to understand, and them that would believe upon him, that the light of the gospel could bring them into the light of the glorious presence of God, and therefore that he could bring them into his kingdom. You know, when Paul was a man that knew the law, he learned at some of the smartest people at that time at their feet. But he didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ until he seen that glorious light on the road to Damascus, when God himself come in the light of the gospel, let God shine out in that darkness of Paul's sins and showed him the way out of darkness. And when Paul seen the light, and he asked, said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus of whom thou persecuted. Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the prick. Paul was one that went about trying to destroy the ones that called upon the name of the Lord. There's people that's even trying to do that today, but my friend, be firm. If you know the Lord, be firm. Trust in him. All a man can do is kill the body, but God can cast body and soul into hell, so which one should you fear? Oh, it's time that we take into consideration, where are we going to spend eternity? It's your decision. God's made the way. He's paid the price for your sins to be forgiven by his giving of his life and the shedding of his blood for the remission of our sins. He's already done that. Come and buy bread and wine without price. In other words, salvation is free. All it'll cost you is turning your back on the sins of the world. And my friend, the sins of the world won't get you anything. The lust of the flesh or the pride of life won't get you nothing but a dark seat in the darkness of hell. But it ain't gonna be pleasant. But to come out from the darkness of sin and repent, come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and lean upon his arm of righteousness. Allow him to come into your life, and you seek after him with your whole heart, will bring you into the glorious light of his kingdom, that wherein that we can have that joy that's unspeakable, full of glory. I can't describe the kingdom of God. I haven't been there. No other man has come back to describe it, but it's described in the Bible as going to be glorious. Therefore, the river of life, the trees of life, everything there that could possibly need. So what? If we believe the word of God, are we going to believe the mouth of man? Some man speaks with a forked tongue, as the old Indians used to say. But God wants to speak righteousness. He spoke righteousness. He wants us to believe what he has to offer. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior. Believe what is written. Look to him for salvation, for there's no other way, no other name given among men whereby that we can be saved. If it had been, there would have been no need for him to come and die and suffer the persecution and the lashes on his back, the plucking of his beard, and all these where he was mired as no other man had been mired for yours and my transgressions. He didn't have to, but he loved us enough that he done it because he loved us. It wasn't the nails that held him on that cross. It was the love he had for you and I that he held him there. He could have called 12 leagues of angels, 72,000 angelical beings could have come down and liberated him, set him free, could have destroyed the world with the breath from his nostrils or the wave of his hand or whatever. But he chose to go to Calvary for you and I. He chose to have suffered the afflictions that they placed upon him there. But they taken him outside the city where you and I were at, and they crucified him there. Outside the city, my friend, it's going to come to time that you're going to weep and wail when you see him if you don't know him. If you don't recognize him, if you don't have not accepted him, you will weep and wail and be like them that the scripture says would run for the rocks and mountains to fall on you to hide him from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of God. So it's up to you. I would encourage you with everything that is within me. Seek you the kingdom of God. Today is the day of salvation. You or I, either one, have got the promise of tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come for you or I, either one. You may, whatever way that we may depart from this life, may slip upon you unaware, that you may think everything's going fine, but all of a sudden it's ended. It's happened to before, and it will happen many more times. People lay down and not wake up. People be riding along, and all of a sudden, it just ends. So we never know. Today, now, is the time to call upon the name of the Lord, seeking after him while that there's breath and life in the body. Because after the body's gone, after the breath of life is left out of the body, it ain't going to be able to do nothing. It'll be cast into outer darkness if you don't know the Lord, but if it's, it'll go into the place of wherein he told a man on Calvary, on the cross there, he said, today will thou be with me in paradise. I don't think any man has entered into the kingdom of God yet, because when he comes again, the dead in Christ shall rise, but the spirit goeth back to him that giveth. But my friend, when they come out of the grave, and them that are changed, that remain to be alive, it'll go with the Lord. And when they come back to the earth again, when the Lord of Lords and King of Kings puts his foot on Mount Olive, he said that they would come back with him, all the saints, on that white horse, not on the one in the first three chapters of Revelation, but on the one back there when he said he comes and he has on his thigh, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. My friend, it's going to be a different time that's going to take place at that time. We're reaping the whirlwind of the revelations of 3 and 4 there, wherein that he come forth. The horses, they riding today. But that one that where he comes riding on, the power and the spirit of the Almighty God comes forth. It's getting ready. So you need to get ready. We need to look to him for salvation. Leaning upon the arm of salvation, as he says, that them that wait upon him. In the aisles they wait on him. And in my arm shall they trust. You trusting in the arm of the Lord today, or are you trusting in the riches of this world? The riches of this world will let you down, but the arm of the Lord will bring you salvation. So it's time we awake and put on the garment. You know, we used to have revivals that would go on for weeks at a time. People sought the Lord and they sought after him, but now since all this technology has come up and everybody seems to think everything is hunky-dory, and they just quit seeking after the Lord. They're seeking after Wheel of Fortune and the lottery ticket, the multi-million dollars, and so on and so forth like that. And these things will be vanished and done away with, my friend. Only the things that sought for God is going to last. So don't be engulfed into all this other stuff and the devil has come forth with to deceive man and bring him into destruction. Look to the word of God, because you'll find them eternal life. Oh, my friend, there's time that we need to seek after God. Need a good revival that would bring forth. But now they have three-night meeting and they call it a revival. Nothing gets accomplished. But they get up 15, 20 minutes of preaching to say nothing about sin and hell. And then they go out and spend 2 or 3 hours in the restaurant somewhere or another, or fellowship hall someplace or another, feeding themselves on the food that they have prepared. But the real food is in the Word of God. That's what we need. We need some old time revivals going on. Some of them that would bring forth and have a move of God, and God moving and speaking to the people's heart, bringing them under conviction there that wherein that they'll repent instead of, oh, anybody wants to go to heaven, raise your hand and repeat after me. That's a bunch of bull, my friend. You need to get before the Lord and cry out unto him, being sorry for your sins, because raising your hand, the Lord Jesus, come into my life might not be enough. But if you repent with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that's the only hope you got. Trusting in the arm of flesh won't get you there. Putting all of your money and everything into the wealth of, to supply the wealth of others, is not going to get you there. But putting your time and the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will get you eternal life. It'll bring salvation to you. It'll bring, therefore, life eternal. And I'm going to break off here and let my wife have some time. She's got something of the good here, and I believe it would help you and be interesting to you. But we're in this together. A lot of people don't believe that God intended for the woman to be a helpmeet, as she is supposed to be, come out from man. And God didn't intend for man and man to be together, but woman and man is the marriage sequence. How can two men produce or reproduce, or even two women? My friend, it's coming to a time that we need to understand God's word's going to be fulfilled, and he's going to bring a destructive force upon all sin and ungodliness. All that is an abomination in his sight is going to be done away with and cast into hell. So it's up to you and I. We can believe what we want to believe, but believe in the word of God. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you again, read your Bible and look to the Lord for salvation, not to the man, because he can't do much for you. Or he can take your money. Watch his bank account grow up and be where he can wear all of his fancy clothes and buy his fancy automobiles and live in the $400,000 and $500,000 homes and everything, and you live by on the shack by the track and eat bread and water. But it don't make no difference to him if you want to be foolish enough to give him all of your wealth that you earned. God gave you the strength to earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. So don't be foolish enough to give it away by every wind of doctrine. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the other things will be added unto you. My wife's got something other here, so I'm going to give it to her at this time. The Lord bless you real good. We appreciate those that have wrote to us and those that have helped us from time to time. We appreciate it, and may God richly bless you, my friend, and keep you until next time. Here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. I'm honored and blessed this afternoon to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And if it's a blessing to you, you'd like a copy of it, just email us, and I'll be glad to send it to you. I'm running out of things, not really, but if you have something that you'd like to share with the, you can go on phoenixbroadcasting.com, take time for Jesus, tell your friends to listen in. We're on 24/7, and we would be honored to have you write to us and tell us what you think of us. But this afternoon, I want to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. It's no power in hell or on earth can hinder the Holy Spirit moving when it comes. I know the Bible says Satan has come down in these last days with great wrath, but I can't conceive of God allowing Satan and his forces to freely assault the church without the Holy Spirit coming in greater power and manifestation. I know the Bible says that evil men will grow worse, more and more wicked, and that there will be a great falling away. And where are we right now? We are falling away. I know it says the love of many will grow cold, and the faith of many shall be shipwrecked. I know it says false preachers will come to deceive many, and that people will love pleasure more than God. I know it says even God's elect will be greatly tempted. And I know many churches will grow lukewarm as the coming of Christ draws near. But beloved, none of these things can hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can silence the shout of victory he brings. Nothing can hold back the great swelling tide of triumphant praise that is coming. Nothing can put out his fire or stop his rain from falling. Dear friends and loved ones, I urge you to be ready for those in your workplace to come asking. I know you're a Christian. I'm so troubled by what's going on in the world. Please tell me what you believe. And this is where we can be a witness at work, in the grocery store, wherever you go. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. When I go to the grocery store, wherever I go, I'm clapping my hands and praising the Lord. Sometimes I get loud. Sometimes it's under my breath. But people come up to me and they say, I wish I was as happy as you are. You know what I tell them? You can be. Jesus Christ will help you take all the troubles away from you. He may not, you know, take everything away, but he'll make you feel better about it. To every humble pastor of a small church or even a large church, and to every leader of an unseen prayer group, I urge you, wherever you may be called, the Holy Ghost wants to come into your midst, touch you, and revive you. Will you believe it? The only thing those 120 disciples in the upper room had to hold on to was a promise from Jesus that he would come. And he did come with power unseen in all of history. Likewise, today, all we have to hold on to is a promise from the Lord that he is coming soon. He pledged to all who would follow him in Luke 22:29, I appoint unto you a kingdom. Right now, the Lord is hearing his people's cry all over the world, and he is pouring out his Holy Spirit with his own cry. In Revelation 22:20, even so, come, Lord Jesus. As the Spirit falls and stirs our hearts, let this also be our cry. Behold, Jesus is coming. Let us go out to meet him. And I said all the time, today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. And there's another little bumper sticker I used to have, but I don't have it now. But only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Pray that something's been said this afternoon that'll get you thinking about where you're going to spend eternity. We try to influence people or to persuade them to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. I know I was raised in a Christian home, as I've said before, and I strayed. But all the time that I was straying, the Lord never left my side. Yes, on Thursday was my birthday, and I thank him on my Facebook. I thank him for all the wonderful years and all the not so wonderful years, but I know that he was always with me. He said he'd never leave you, he'd never forsake you, but he'll go with you no matter where you are or what you do. He is there waiting and protecting you. Just remember, he said that I am your comforter. And we pray that this has been a good message or something has been said. If you want to email us or write to us, our email address is ecompton31@yahoo.com. If the Lord lays it on your heart to help us, it would be greatly appreciated. But we're more important to us is winning souls for Jesus Christ. You can write to us, Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And we just love everybody. And if you live in the Tampa Bay area, you want to go to church on Saturday and Sunday night, we are not Seventh-day Adventist or anything like that, but we have church on Saturday and Sunday night at 7:30 in Temple Terrace, Florida, where the gospel is preached. There's no junk, no junky music. We sing songs about Jesus Christ, and we preach Jesus Christ. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of people in this world today are going hungry after and thirsting after the righteousness of God simply because of so many people in this world today is downing other people for their belief and saying, you got to believe it like they believe it or you can't have it. But my friend, if you don't believe it, what the Bible says and come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and believe the doctrine in which he gave to the apostles and brought forth to us as Jesus prayed, not for the world, but for them that was in the world, and there for the apostles and for those that would hear and believe their teachings. So the gospel came forth by the anointing of God at the men of old, and it was inspired by the word, by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to write unto us the letters at which we have received about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and about the plan of salvation has been given unto us by them that God chose out of this life when he walked upon the face of the earth and the 12 apostles. He said, have not I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil, but it was that he would go to his own place, the son of perdition. There's many that are walking today claiming to be. So be careful, my friend. If that Spirit of God is with you, it's going to be, there's going to make a connection with them that have the Spirit. So be careful. Read the Word of God. Find out what God has to say about the plan of salvation, and you won't go wrong. So as we pray one for another, pray for our boys and girls that are in these wars and have come home all hurt up and everything, that God will help them and they would hide in that rock of salvation in Christ Jesus. Father, bless them. Keep them in thy loving care and your promises, O God. Wrap your arm of comfort around them and keep them by your saving grace. And all that be accomplished in that great name of Jesus Christ, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Till next time, may God bless you and keep you. Take time for Jesus. Amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.